All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. A question. And if you're around here any length of time, you know I like to ask questions, especially at the beginning of a sermon, to get us to think a little bit. And a question that some people are asking today, and this message is kind of is connected in some ways to what I was talking about in Sunday school, but a different thought process here. Is faith still relevant today? Some people would say, well, is it really relevant? I don't know. I mean, we've become so advanced in our knowledge and capabilities. Do we really need faith in God alone anymore? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's kind of a silly question, Pastor. Of course we need faith. But to some, this might not be such a far-fetched idea. 100 years ago, this would be a ridiculous question to ask. But now, since the progression of our society and the progression of technology and the progression of our knowledge that we think is knowledge, some people say, well, faith isn't necessary anymore. This morning, we're going to be going to school. And we're going to be learning from a teacher this morning. We're going to be learning from the Word of God, but a particular person in the Word of God that will teach us about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be looking at Noah this morning and a message entitled, Noah's School of Faith. Noah's School of Faith. How can we have faith like Noah, and what did Noah's faith bring in his life? If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 6 and 7 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 6 and 7. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Him is referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we want to have faith. For Lord, we see in your word commanded here in verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please you. For Lord, we need faith daily. And I pray this morning that we would look at the example of thy servant Noah, the record that you have given in your word. And I pray this morning that we would take the example of it and apply it. And that, Lord, we would have faith unshakable in yourself. That we would make a step this morning, if we have not had faith in you, to trust in you for salvation. Or if maybe we've been saved for a time, but Lord, we've never put our faith in wholly in your word and wholly in your way of doing things. And I pray, Lord, that we would have that faith today. I pray that you would bless this time, and I pray for any here this morning who have not accepted you as their Savior, have not accepted the precious gift of salvation. I pray that they would be saved today. We pray for those watching the streaming today that they would be blessed. And Lord, also we pray for them that if any are not saved, that they would be saved this morning. We also pray for others who are discouraged today, or maybe they have had their faith shaken. I pray that their faith be strengthened today. I pray that you would guide us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Noah's School of Faith. We all love going to school. A lot of people are going back to school tomorrow. Somebody says, well, I'm done with school. I've graduated. I've gone to college. I don't have to go to school anymore. Well, now you're in the school of life. Every day we learn things. Every time we go through an experience, or maybe sometimes every time we make a mistake, we learn something. But this morning, we're going to look at the life of Noah. Now, we see in verse number 6 that faith is an essential part of our Christian life. It is essential in salvation. It is essential in obedience to the Word of God. It is essential in our everyday life. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We can't please God unless we have faith in Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then the next verse is, by faith Noah. Now, did Noah please God? Well, we're going to see that he did. Noah pleased God because he had faith in God. Now, let's look at, first this morning, if you're taking notes, we're going to look at the background of faith. The background of faith. We find Noah in Hebrews chapter 11, also in Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at both places this morning. We all know the account of Noah, that the world was evil, the world was filled with violence, and God repented. God was sorry that he had made man, because man had sinned and turned, and now the world was filled with the violence, was filled with sin. And only Noah and his family, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, Noah loved God. They were the last ones. Of all the earth, they were the last people to do right. And we find Noah that he had a pattern of faith in his life. Some people view this, that in this fact that, well, one day Noah was just going about his business and that Noah was just living like everybody else in the world at that time, though he was a little bit better. He was a respectable citizen. He didn't do all the really bad stuff, but, you know, he was still, just going about his business. And one day God appeared to him and said, Noah, build an ark. You know, that's somehow is depicted, right? When Noah looks up, God, who are you? Who is speaking to me? I am the Lord. You know, like God, that Noah had never heard about the Lord before. That Noah had never heard anything about God and his holiness and his justice. That is just simply not the case. Because we look at Genesis chapter 6. Look over there. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. And we see a description that God gives Noah. Noah doesn't describe himself this way. God gives Noah this description in verse number 9 of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. This is the very same statement made about Enoch, that Enoch walked with God. And that we see in the generations given since Adam, there are those that did not walk with God, but those that did. Seth walked with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. And what does walking with God mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're in Sunday school this morning, you know what that means. Is that Noah had faith in Jehovah God. Had faith also in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. He had faith in the promise of Genesis 3:15, the Proto-Evangelium, the first mention of the gospel, that God would make a way for man to be saved from his sin. Praise God for that. And Noah had faith in that. Noah had faith in the words of God. And he walked with God daily. Now, did they have the Bible written down at that time? No, they didn't. But Noah still walked with God. He prayed. We see the similar way of Job. Job, who walked with God as well, he offered sacrifice and he was a just man. That's another way Job is also described in this way. And that he walked with God. He had a daily walk with the Lord, a conversation, had a lifestyle that was godly because of his faith in God. Now, Noah walked with God. He was 600 years old when this happened, when God asked him to build an ark. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. Noah had a background of faith. Let's look at what we know about Noah, that he was a righteous man in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. But now, how is a man righteous? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verses 10 and 11. What does it mean, righteous? It means to do right according to what God thinks, not what we think, but do according to what God says. That's what righteousness is, doing that which is right. Now, we cannot be good enough and obey enough to get ourselves to heaven. We must trust in Jesus Christ for that. But the righteousness that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fruits of the Spirit. Walking with God, exhibiting, act like you walk with God. Well, how do people know that Noah walked with God? Because he didn't do the things they did. He wasn't part of this violence. He wasn't part of the self-gratification. He wasn't part of the lust. He wasn't part of any of that. He walked with God, and that's what God had repented him, that he had made man. He had just, I'm sorry I made man because of all the sin and the filth that they were committing. But Noah walked with God. Noah was separated from those things. And what is the fruit of righteousness? The fruit of righteousness, of one of the fruits here that we'll find in Hosea chapter 10. And this is the fruit that Noah found. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. The fruit of righteousness is mercy, it is the mercy of God. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So what did Noah bring? What was the fruit of his righteousness? That God had mercy on him and told him what was going to happen and told him how he could be saved from the judgment upon those who were wicked. This background of obedience and faith is a critical part of this account. The Christian life is not about living the way we want. And then God asks us to do some great work for him. That's how some Christians view that, and some young people view that. And they come and they ask their pastor and say, "Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. You know, what am I supposed to do?" Well, what are you doing for God right now? Well, nothing. I'm not doing anything right now. I'm just going to wait around until God tells me what he wants me to do. Guess what? God, you're going to wait a real long time. Because God's not going to ask you to do anything if you're not obeying what you need to do now. Amen. And that goes for not just young people, that goes for any Christian. Well, I want to know what God has for me. Well, are you doing what God wants you to do right now? Well, no. Are you reading your Bible every day? No. Are you witnessing? No. Are you praying? No. Are you going to church faithfully? No. Then God's not going to tell you anything. Are you living as the Bible, as the foundation of your life? And are you following what God says every word, every day, to the best of your ability and asking God to help you? Well, no, then you're not going to know what God wants for you to do because you haven't obeyed the small things. You know, we have this idea, and this is unfortunately Hollywood does this for us, that the account I gave of Noah, that he was just one day and all of a sudden God appeared to him. Boom, there he is. And many times that's how we present with Abraham and with Moses. No. Noah had shown himself faithful. Abraham had shown himself faithful. David had shown himself faithful before he went out to kill Goliath. Daniel had shown himself faithful before he ever went to that lion's den. He had shown himself faithful. They had made a decision that they were going to be faithful to God, and Noah had done the same. Question, are you faithful? Are you faithful today? Do you want to make a difference with your life for the Lord? Do you want God to use you? Well, yes, Pastor, I want God to use me. I think every Christian in their right mind wants to be used of God. Amen. I pray that. If you don't want to be used by God, either you're backslidden or you're not saved, one or the other. But you should want to be used by God and want to be a servant. And when you read these accounts of how God used people, it's like, God, would you use me in that way? Would you let me do something for you? Would you have the attitude of Isaiah? Here am I, send me. The attitude of Samuel, speak, for thy servant heareth. Yes, Pastor, I want that. Well, are you doing what you ought to be doing now? Look at Luke 19, verse 17. Jesus had the parable of the servants and the talents. How that the servants were given a responsibility. And there were those that fulfilled that responsibility and those that did not. We know the unfaithful servant went out and buried his talents in the back. And because he feared that he was going to mess it up, that he was going to lose it all, and he did nothing. He just sat on his talents. He sat on what God had gave him and didn't do anything because he was afraid he was just going to mess it all up. You know what the Bible calls that? Jesus called that wicked. He had no faith because it wasn't what you were going to do with it. It was what God was going to use you to do. But there was the faithful servant. In Luke 19, verse 17, Luke 19, verse 17. This is important. Luke 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." So what happened? That servant had been given 10 talents. And he increased that. And he invested. He was a wise steward. And because he was faithful in that, the Lord gave him rule over 10 cities. He was faithful in the small things. And then God was able to use him. The Lord was able to use him in bigger things. The same thing. Noah was faithful day by day in the little things for over 600 years. Imagine living 600 years. Think about that. That's a long life. A long time. 6 centuries. So if Noah was alive today, he would have been born back in the 1400s. That's a lot. A lot of things have happened in the world in that time period. But imagine all that God had seen, all Noah had seen God do in 600 years. But also, he had seen all that man had done in 600 years. He had seen all that, all the wickedness. He had seen it all. All that was in the world. You know, we get depressed sometimes about what we see in our lifetime. Imagine having a lifespan of that long and seeing person after person, generation after generation, destroy themselves in sin. But he was still faithful. And that's why God revealed to him that he was going to give a way of escape, that God was going to use him as an avenue to see other people be saved if they wanted to be. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, that he didn't hold back, that he let people know what God was going to do. And that brings us to Genesis chapter 6 again. Beginning of verse number 11, we see second. First, we see the background of faith. So Noah didn't just fall off the turnip truck of faith and say, well, here we go, this is what I'm going to do. No, he had to walk daily from a young age, more than likely, that he walked with God day by day by day. He was faithful in the little things, and God gave him the responsibility of building an ark to save his family and to save anyone else who would come. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 11. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 11. Here we see the warning of God. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. And he goes on to give the dimensions of the ark, exactly how to build it. God gave him exact instructions. God was going to judge the sin of those that were on the earth. The earth was filled with violence. The earth was filled with sin, with lust, with murder. It sounds like today, doesn't it? Oh, violence is everywhere. You can't turn on the news without seeing someone getting killed. This violence that is in Chicago right now. Violence is in all of our cities. Violence in Killeen. Just yesterday morning here in Killeen, bank robbery, sin and lust and murder and drugs. Matthew 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, the earth will be full of sin. The more we see sin abound, the closer we're coming to the day when Jesus is coming back. You know that God always judges sin? He always judges sin. There's something about God you must know, that whenever you look at his word, starting from here in Genesis all the way through, God always judges sin. God judged Adam and Eve because of their sin. There was a curse upon the earth. They were cast out of the garden, and there was a curse upon man of sin ever since. That's the consequence of sin. God always judges sin, but he gives a way of salvation. God always judges sin. Some people today say, well, God doesn't judge sin, isn't judged my sin yet. I've been in sin a long time. God hasn't judged me. The problem is with that, he hasn't judged you yet. It's coming. He promises. God keeps a perfect balance. He keeps track of everything. And one day you will be judged for your sin. Just as the world was judged, God gave them a 125-year notice. Before they were to be destroyed, God gave them time. 125 years. That's a long time. And if you look at it in our lifetime, I think it was yesterday, a gentleman in Killeen turned 100 years old, World War II veteran. You know, he's really old. He was born, born back in 1918. That was a long time ago. That's just 100 years, but God gave him 125 years to repent of their sin and to come back. And just like Nineveh was given a space to repent, and Jonah was upset about it. Jonah said, well, they deserve to be judged. But God delivered a message, and they responded to the message. And you know what? God withheld his judgment. He said, Pastor, do you think that if the world at that time had repented, that there would have been a worldwide flood? I believe he would have repented. He would not have judged the world in that way. But guess what? Man was so down in their sin, and they rejected God and his word. They rejected the gospel. They rejected the way of salvation. They rejected the physical salvation of the ark. Can you imagine building that ark? Being the only family left. Maybe there were some marginal people that they say they walk with God, but they didn't want to be associated with Noah. Noah was building a big boat. No one had ever seen it rain. There was a mist that came up from there had not been rain one time, and he's building a big boat. So what's going to happen? A flood? They never seen a flood either. You know, you want to see flooding? Look at Hawaii right now. It's flooding, right? You seen that? That's the power of water. They had never seen that. And so Noah's building this big boat. So Noah, what are you doing? God's going to destroy the world. Ah, I'm sure you are. Ah, Noah, you've gone off your rocker, man. No, you know, there's no rain. It's going to rain. What's rain? Well, it's water that comes from the sky. Well, Ben, no, there's something really. And there's going to be a flood. What's flood? Well, it's water that comes everywhere, and it's going to destroy everything. Noah's lost it. But you know what? The world's going to say that we've lost it. Oh, the world's going to continue on and continue on. And you know what we say, you know, everyone's saying that the world's going to be destroyed through global warming. We're going to drown. The ice caps are going to melt. You know, the ice caps are going to melt, but not because of global warming, because of the judgment of God. One day, the earth and the heavens will pass away with a fervent heat. The Bible says so. That's what I call global warming. But it's because of judgment for sin, not because of greenhouse gases. The earth was full of sin. God always judges sin, but also God always gives a warning. God used Noah to give a warning. A preacher of righteousness, God always gives a warning. And God always gives a space and time to repent. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. Aren't you so glad for the mercy and grace of God? Because if we didn't have the mercy and grace of God, all of us, the first time that we sin, we go straight to the pit of hell and be burning there for all of eternity if God did not have mercy or long-suffering. Or patience with us. That's what would happen to us. But because of his patience and his love, he gives us a space and an opportunity to repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God. Well, wasn't it a terrible thing that the world was destroyed and all those people died? Yes, but God gave them a chance. Remember, God gave them an opportunity. God used Noah to build an ark to save not only his family, but also an opportunity to save others. And he used Noah to be a preacher of righteousness, to tell of the coming judgment, and that they could get right with God and be saved if they were but to just get in the ark. God gave them an opportunity. And maybe you're here today and you've never been saved and you've never been in the ark who was a picture of Jesus Christ in salvation. God is giving you an opportunity here today. Will you say, well, I don't need that? Just like they did, and they were all destroyed. But you know what? Noah had a decision to make when God gave him the instructions for that ark. Am I really going to do this? You know, what would happen if Noah was given those instructions today? What would the typical Christian do today? If Noah was a typical Christian of today in the United States of America, what would he have done? He might have said, well, he would have said this. Well, this is really important. Let me think about it for a while. I want to make sure that my heart's right before I do it. You know, I really want to think about it first. You know, I want to make sure that I'm all in, you know. And they just think about it for a while, and it just kind of passes away. Or maybe he would go down to the altar and cry out to God and shed tears and then leave the altar and keep on going what he'd been doing, farming or doing whatever he was doing, and totally forgot about building the ark. Maybe he would put what God told him on Facebook and let the social media theologians of the day give him their opinion. What do you think about this? Well, you know, you never can trust always what appears in a vision or whatever. We don't know how God spoke to him, whether it was audibly or through a vision, but God spoke to him. And you know what? You don't see Noah debating. You don't see Noah going to Facebook. Maybe he would scour the Bible commentaries until he found one that explained that God's warning was not for that day. It wasn't for him. It was for somebody else in somebody else's time. It wasn't for him in his day. Maybe he would go and improve on God's plan and build the ark the way he thought it should be built through modern manufacturing methods of the day. Right? Technology and all of that. And we can make the ark and do it our way. You know what it says? Look back at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Remember, Noah had never seen rain, never seen a flood, never seen all of that. We get down to verse 22. God gave him instructions of all that he was supposed to do. Build the ark, bring the animals in, all of that. Three words. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Everything that God told him to do, he just said, yes, Lord, and went and did it. Why? He had had a lifetime of just simply doing what God said. He had faith in God and what he said. So when God told him to build an ark, it wasn't a big stretch for him. He had already been walking with God. And you know what? For some people, when God wants you to do something, you haven't been walking with him. You haven't had that attitude of faith. You haven't been having, your faith is not strong. God asks you to do something. Sorry, God, I can't handle that. I can't do that. Or when the trial and tragedy comes in your life, you say, well, God, how could you do this to me? But if you've been walking with him, you know he was a good and a just and holy God who loves you. Instead, we blame God for our troubles. No, you need to blame sin and the devil for our problems. God is not the author of the problems we have today. Sin is, and the devil. Is this what God wants from us? I'll do it later, God. I'll think about it, God. I'll come down and cry about it, then I'll go back and do what I want, God. I did what I was supposed to. I came to the altar, I cried, and I threw out my heart and everything, but I still don't want to do it. Is that what God wants out of us today? No. What God simply wants is us for to have faith in what he says about everything. About salvation, about living, about winning for him. He just simply wants us to follow it. And that brings us to number three this morning. So first we've seen the background of faith. Second, God's warning. Third, Noah's fear. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Hebrews 11, verse number 7. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, it clearly gives the picture of Noah's response to God's warning. Very clear response. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So not seen as yet, what does that mean? Had never seen a flood, had never seen rain, had never seen a boat this big, had never seen any of this. Moved with fear. Now, if I came to you today, or so you had had a vision or revelation, and God came to you and said, in 2 days, an atomic bomb is going to be dropped in your house. But if you do what I tell you to do, you'll live, you and your family. And you know what? We'll say, yeah, right. That's not going to happen. But what if God did? You know, God could, by the way. He is God. He can do what he wants. But we have the warning of his word. But just like he came to Noah, he said, you have this certain period of time to do this so you and your family can be saved from the coming judgment. And what if you knew that all the world was going to be destroyed? Everything was going to be wiped out, all the cities. Everything that you know was going to be completely wiped out. Don't you think you'd be afraid? That's a scary thing. And you know what? Moved with fear, because what did he know about God? That God always kept his promise. That God always does what he says. And that God was making a way for him. He was afraid. He had the fear of the Lord. Look at Psalm 19, verse number 9. Psalm 19 and verse number 9. Psalm 19 and verse number 9. The fear of the Lord makes us take his word seriously. Makes us take God seriously. Psalm 19, verse number 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So what does that mean, Pastor? You know, some people say, well, God is not a vengeful God. Well, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Jesus takes vengeance upon sin. We think vengeance is a bad thing. When we take vengeance, it's a bad thing. When God does it in his holiness and perfectness, he is judging sin, which we justly deserve because God is a just God. Yes, God is love, but there's more mentions in the Bible of the fear of the Lord than of that God is love. Is God love? Absolutely. But the fear of the Lord is this, that people say, well, it's not a good thing to fear God. And we have all the evangelicals over here saying, well, you shouldn't fear God. What does it say here? Psalm 19, verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. enduring forever. It's a good thing to fear God. The master of the universe, who has given us his word, who has given us the perfect way of living, and to trespass against it is sin and the judgment of sin. I think all of us in here, we have a fear of something. How many of you would like to stick your hand in a 3,000 degree torch? Oh, that's going to be no problem. No, it's going to hurt. It's probably going to burn your hand right off. We fear it. We want to stay away from it. We don't want to get anywhere near it. Why? Because we don't want to get burned, right? The same thing with God. If we trespass against his word, there's a consequence for it. And we ought to fear that. We ought to love him. And we ought to stay true to his word, have faith in his word. People say that we don't need to fear the Lord. Is God love? Absolutely. But what do we see here? Well, God, you know, when the judgment comes, how could God do this? How could God judge sin? Look at the last part of the verse. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. When God judges, he is always right. Amen? When God judges, he is always right. It is not our place to say, well, God, you shouldn't have done that. Isn't that what Jonah did? He was upset about what God had done. He thought the judgment should come, but God was merciful. See, we have to understand, God is a God of judgment, but God is a God of mercy. He gives us space to repent. He is good to us and forbearing and long-suffering. But that does come to an end. God gives us a space to repent, and that space is not unlimited. One day we will be judged for our sin. We don't live forever. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Some people say, well, I will serve God when I get a little bit older. I'll start following the Bible when I get a little bit older. Don't fool yourself. No, you won't. I'll do what I want to now, and then I'll serve God later. I'll do what I think is important, then I'll be faithful to God and serve God later. No, you won't. Because you have placed yourself as number one, and God is number two. But if we truly love God, because at that moment you are trespassing against his word, what he has told you, what he has commanded for his people to do, and we stand in the place of judgment. Now, not in the judgment of hell, but we stand in the place of judgment before God, because all of us will stand before God one day. All Christians, we will stand before God, and we will give an account of how we lived our life and of what we did. Well, I'll serve God later. Today is the day of service. And some say, well, I'll get saved later on in life. I've got plenty of time. Got plenty of time. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need to be saved. But you know what? I just want to enjoy my sin a little bit. Yes, you understand that you're a sinner, but you don't understand where your sin is sending you. You don't have any fear of the Lord. You don't have any fear of the pit of hell. And you have to understand that we are one breath from eternity. Today, every single one of us, I don't know how healthy you are one breath away from either the splendors of heaven or the fires of hell. So we don't have time to say, well, I'll think about it. Here's the fact, God's word is true. You are a sinner, there is no denying the fact. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is not a debate, it is a fact. Every single person in here, you're a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. Me included. We all are. Now, we don't like to hear the truth about ourselves. But it's true. We're all sinners. It's not debatable. It is a fact. Why? Because God said it. And because of that sin, for the wages of sin is death. And the second death that we read about in Revelation 21 is the lake of fire, the pit of hell. The bottomless pit. There for all of eternity. That's the judgment for sin. That's the judgment for sinners. Because we have violated the holiness of God. That is a fact. You can't explain it away. So, well, I don't want to think about it. You can do that, but it still doesn't change anything. That's the facts. That's the truth. But here's another fact. That God loves you. And he loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to come and live on this earth, to suffer and die upon the cross so that we would not have to suffer in the pit of hell for all of eternity because for our sin. Jesus paid for our sin. That is not an historical opinion. That is the fact of God's Word. And what we must do is make a decision. My sin is sending me to the pit of hell. I don't have to go there. I can be saved from my sin. I can be set free from my sin through Jesus Christ. Not through your works. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. You can't be good enough to get all your sins taken care of. Even if you worked all your life, you maybe get one paid off. You still have thousands of others. You'll never make it. But why do that when Jesus has already paid the price? It's not of works, as any man should boast. But what must you do? You must make a decision and have faith in Him to save you from your sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's also a fact. Not to be debated or, well, did God really mean that? Yes, He meant what He said. And you can be saved this morning from your sin. Just like Noah and his family, they were saved in the ark because they simply did what God said. And God has told you His commandment. He has told you His gospel. He has given it to you as a gift. He didn't say, Noah, you need to pay me before I tell you how I'm going to save you. He said, no, Noah, here, this is how you're going to be saved. Physically, but also this is a picture of how Jesus Christ saves us from our sin. He is the great ark, and we can be safe in Him from the judgment that is to come. Because God will judge sin. We need to be afraid of His judgment. You know what, people say, well, you don't need to be afraid of hell. I beg to differ. Some people, well, we don't need to be afraid of hell, Pastor. You know, we don't want to, you know, prey on people's fears. That is something we need to be afraid of. It's something we need to be afraid of. Also, you know why when that's downplayed? That's why we don't go soul winning. Because it's hell, yeah, I was afraid of it. Other people are on their way there. Don't you want to pull them out? Don't you want to help get them out? The fear of God, the fear of hell, and the splendors of heaven is all diminished today. We are not on our way there if we're saved, but don't you fear for someone else to go there. A fear of the Lord. Noah feared to disobey the command of God. You know what? If he did not obey the command of God, he would have been wiped out with the rest. He would have been wiped out with everybody else. And some people say, well, I think there's another way of salvation. Well, you'll just be wiped out with the rest of this world in the pit of hell. That's what will happen to you if you don't do it God's way. If you're a Christian here today, well, I don't want to live the way God wants me to live. I want to live my way. Then you're going to be wiped out with the wicked. You're going to be on your way to heaven, yes, but your life is going to be worth nothing for Him for all of eternity because you're going to be all wiped away. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to come to naught. Destroyed with the wicked. Worldly Christians, will you make a refuge in the safety that God has provided? His Word. So I'm saved today, but I'm living for the world. I'm living for myself. You need to come down to this altar today and stop living for yourself and live for Jesus Christ. And live for Him. Day by day by day. Live according to this, like Noah did. Walking with God by faith, and God will use your life. Lost person. So I'm a sinner. Take refuge in Christ today. Take refuge in what Jesus has done for you. Well, I'll take care of that later. Let me ask you something. Do you fear the judgment of God on your soul? That's something you ought to be afraid of. Before I was saved, that was something that I always feared. That I'd go to sleep one night and I'd wake up in hell. Because I wasn't sure that I was saved. I'd be tormented. I'd try and stay awake all night because I didn't want to die in my sleep. I feared death. Do you fear death today? By the way, if you're a Christian, you don't need to fear death. If you're sure of your salvation, you know you're on your way to heaven, you don't need to fear death. You'll be with Him for all of eternity. You'll be out of this wicked world and in the splendors of heaven. But if you're not saved, people fear death because they're not sure about their salvation. If you're not sure today, I don't care how long you've been coming to church, how long you've been a member of the church. I don't care. What I care is about your soul. If you're not saved today and you don't think you are and you know you're not, you need to come forward today. I don't care if this is your first time here. You need to come forward this morning and accept the gift because you're not promised tomorrow. We all know of accounts of people, family members, people that we know, that we hear one day and gone the next. They were here in the morning and by evening they were gone. I told you many times about my niece who died at 13 years old of a brain tumor. From the time of being diagnosed to the time that we were at the viewing and she was in her casket, it was 2 weeks. For some people, they don't even have that long. They have aneurysms, a heart attack. They die in their sleep. One young person, when my brother-in-law was in college, his roommate, or a guy down the hall there, died in his sleep. 20 years old. Doesn't matter. And he was healthy. Nothing wrong with him. When God says, it's your time, it's your time. And there's nothing we can do about it. The rich man and Lazarus. Rich man ended up in hell. God said, it was your time to go. And then he found out that hell was real. He found out. Now, he was a Jew. He was religious. He went to the synagogue. He paid his tithes, I'm sure. But he ended up in hell because he didn't trust in the Messiah. He trusted himself rather than God. And you know what? He was there. And you know what? He talked about, he said, go tell my brothers and tell them, have Lazarus go back. Lazarus is in heaven. Have Lazarus go back and tell them that not to come to this place. You know why? He said, don't get me out of here, because he knew he couldn't. He knew there was no way out. Don't you think people that go there, they try and figure a way out? There's no way out. For all of eternity. You know, we got to think about that. We think of things in periods of time. You know, maybe we have a surgery or something. We have pain for a short period of time. But we're talking about time without end. Judgment. There's people I know that are there. I know they're there. Because they rejected Jesus. Because they rejected the gospel. Because they rejected a presentation just like you have heard today. They rejected a tract. They rejected the Bible. They said, well, I know it's true. You want to find out if it isn't or if it is? Because it is. Because God said it is. God said it's true. God says it's pure and holy. Trust it. And Jesus will save you this morning. So we've been to Noah's School of Faith this morning. What are you putting your faith in? Is your faith going to be in yourself and in what you can do and how you can view things? How you view the command of God, that you can explain it away or obey it the way you think? You know, maybe Noah, he could have obeyed God, but obeyed his way. He said, well, God told me to do it this way, to pitch it with this particular pitch, but I'm going to do it my way. I think I know how to do it a little bit better. You know, God isn't up on the new methods. God isn't up on the new way of salvation. I can get there. You know what? Noah had been wiped out with the rest. But Noah did exactly what God said. Are we willing to be like Noah this morning? I'm going to read one more verse and I'm done this morning. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. I'm going to read it again. Can you say in your heart this morning as a Christian, when God tells you to do something, if God's speaking to your heart right now about salvation or about serving Him or about getting sin out of your life, it doesn't matter what it is. Thus did Noah. Can you put your name there? Can I put my name here? Thus did Robert. Can my wife put her name there? Thus did Bethany. I said, Pastor, don't put my name there. Don't put my name there. Putting people I know there. Thus did Adam. There, I picked one. I can pick on the young people. Can we put our name there? Oh, yes, I want to put my name there. No, I really mean it. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him. so did he. Just so we wouldn't have any doubt about it, that he did it, all that he said. And Noah was blessed. And you know what? That we're all here today because Noah obeyed. Did you know that? We're all descendants of Noah and his sons. Every single one of us. We're all here because Noah obeyed. Aren't you glad Noah obeyed? We're here, right? This church is here because Noah obeyed. We don't think about it that way, but it's true. We're all here. The human race would have been wiped out and all gone if Noah had not obeyed. Who is going to be saved or who's going to be wiped out because of you? If I don't obey, there's going to be people that are going to be wiped out. My family, people that I'm supposed to minister to. The same for you. If you don't obey, you'll be wiped out with the rest, but also a lot of other people that were supposed to be saved in the ark that you were supposed to build. Will you do? Well, can you put thus did your name? Won't you obey him this morning? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. You've been to school this morning. And you can hear all of this and hear all that God has taught you this morning and say, well, I don't believe it. I don't have faith in it. God grants you that right to accept or reject what he tells you and what he teaches you. But there's a consequence for rejecting and a blessing for receiving. For those who are lost, to reject the gospel is to seal your fate in the pit of hell. But if to accept, you'll have the cleansing of Jesus Christ, and his blood will cleanse you from all sin, and you'll be granted a place in heaven. Jesus will make you a place himself, just for you in heaven. And a new life in freedom from sin. For the Christian, to accept is to bring blessing and joy and peace and service and effectiveness for God. To reject is backsliding, misery, and eventual destruction. This is the truth of God's word. Nothing can change it. You can't change it. What you think about it can't change it. It's true. What will you do today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this invitation time. I pray that your people would come to you. I pray for the lost soul to come to yourself this morning, and that we'd be able to show them from the Bible how they can be saved. I pray that you'd work among us today. We pray that we would make decisions for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.